Matthew 28:18, again, a verse, several verses you know probably by heart. But just again, I wanted to emphasize, I've titled the message, Go Ye Therefore. And as we approach our missions conference, I really wanted to emphasize a lot of what the Bible has to say about missions and missions giving and why do we support missionaries? What's the point of it? And now I know, again, I'm preaching to you, dear people, that wholeheartedly support missions and you love missionaries and you do a great job at that. But again, why do we do what we do? And I want to emphasize that leading up to and then through our missions conference there. But notice, if you will, Matthew 28:18, he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you will, jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because this is interesting what Paul has to say. 2 Corinthians 9, he brings out to us some very clear indications and really why we should be supporting missions. And in his travels and journeys, he too struggled in somewhat of this area of having people help him, and especially financially, if you will. But anyways, he says in verse number 6 there, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We'll look at that in a minute. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything in all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So he's talking about, now you give, you can't outgive God, is what he's basically saying, right? We know that. Okay, so anyways, in our notes here, let's jump into this. If we are to be faithful and wise stewards of what God has entrusted to us, we must make wise investments of those assets. Now we know that. We begin by paying our debt. And the tithe is a debt that literally I do owe. Some people question that. Do I have to tithe? Is it necessary? And it really is a debt. And so we'll look at that too. But continuing, the work of God is world evangelism, as we read in Matthew 28. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, those of us that cannot physically go to other parts of the world are to help and send those who can. And I like this quote. One person said it this way. There's really three types of people in the local church. The goers, the senders, and then the disobedient. So we can look at it and say, well, which one am I? I can't go, but I can send. Now, the gospel we know is free and salvation is free. This is absolutely no cost to the lost sinner for salvation. Jesus paid the full price. But we do know there is a cost involved in getting the gospel to the lost. It takes people and money to get the message to the lost. Gospel tracts cost money. Bibles cost money. Sending missionaries costs money. We know that. Traveling costs money. And there's definitely a cost involved in missions. This is where God would have us to invest. We are called upon to give in order for the gospel to be preached. But it involves more than just giving money. God wants us to invest our lives in his work. Regardless of what we do to make money, we are to give our lives to him so that he might use us to get his message to the lost. Here we find come to find the very essence of our purpose in life. And missions giving involves giving money, but it also involves much more than just giving that money. It takes people to get the message to the lost. This is the most important ingredient. God uses believers to bring lost sinners to Jesus Christ. In order for God to use you, you must give yourself to him. Now, okay, so number one leads us to our first point of giving ourselves to the Lord. We have to give ourselves to him. Now, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, back just a chapter, he puts it and he says, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own lives, our own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. So Paul says before they even began giving financially or whatever they had to give, they gave their selves to the Lord. And that's really where it starts, and we know that. First of all, letter A, a complete surrender to Jesus Christ is necessary. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2, we know very familiar. But what's he say? I beseech you, you present your bodies, right? That you may know that perfect, acceptable will of God, that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So he says we need to have complete surrender. Now, he's worthy because of his mercy. He's worthy to take us and give our lives, if I can say it that way, to him. Well, why? Here's a few things. I know you already know this, but he withheld the punishment that you and I deserved. That's truly what mercy is. He also allowed you to live where you could hear the gospel. Now, think about that. You ever question or wonder why, Lord, why was I not born a Hindu or born a Muslim? Why was I not born in Iran? You know, why was I kids? Why weren't I born, you know, in the Philippines or somewhere? We're so privileged to be Americans. If you go anywhere as an American, people just, and you want to tell people, oh, no, I'm a poor American. You know, I don't have, and they still look at us like, wow, you're an American. You have everything. And that's true, isn't it? And amazing to think that God would allow you to be born here to hear the gospel. Well, another one would be he has kept you from many tragedies and even trials, right? I mean, you think about the hardship of people in third world countries and Mexico and other places, right? I mean, just what they daily have to go through and many tragedies, many problems they're dealing with. Well, we know that he's worthy because of his mercy. He's also worthy because of his grace. Ephesians 2, 4 and 6 talks about his grace bestowed upon us. It's such an amazing thing. Who's rich in mercy for his great grace, we could talk about. But notice he allowed you to stay on earth stay on earth until you were saved. Some people rejected the gospel and they died early or something happened to them, right? We know that. He gave you eternal life. He gave you a position in heaven. He gave you his Holy Spirit to dwell with you. Just some of the things that the grace of God bestows upon us. So talking about giving ourselves to the Lord by way of first and foremost, giving our hearts, giving ourselves to him. Letter B, a complete surrender to Jesus Christ involves other people. And we know that. As he said again in 2 Corinthians 8, 5, he says, but they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So we know that as you give your life to Christ and you are saved and you begin to want to share the gospel with other people, it involves people. Again, if you can't, well, number one under that, if you can't go, I must do something to help others go. And that something will be giving financially through the local church. Some might not be faithful. Others will be faithful and productive. Talking about missionaries in general, I'll give, but what if some of them don't? They're flakes or they fall into sin or something happens. Well, we can't really judge that, right? We have to just do our part and give. Those that are faithful, praise the Lord for that. Those that are productive, reaching people. It is my duty to give however I can with whatever I have. Now, in our text there of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about that. He says, listen, whatever God's given you, right, you give that. You know, well, I'll wait till I get the money like Joe Blow has. I'll wait till I get the finances of those other people. Then I'll give. No, he says, with what you have now, we do give. So number two, then God requires all of us to help in some way. We know it's never in blind obedience. We just do, I'll act like a robot and do what God wants me to do. He never asks us to do that, does it? It's always connected with a promise from him. And that's a wonderful thing. It's an attitude of yieldedness to God and his authority. It brings great blessing to our lives. And we know that. Number three, 75% of the world is unable to give to others financially. Now they can give, but not financially, right? We know that. 75, three quarters of the world. Isn't that amazing? We are the wealthiest country in the world, and we know that. We have the ability to help where most cannot, and we must use our resources to further the gospel, and that's something we have to look at. We can't go necessarily. Now, you could go, and you could hop on a plane maybe this week, next week, and say, I'm selling all I have, and we're going to go be missionary somewhere. That'd be a great thing, and we would support you if you wanted to do that. It might be me. I don't know, but... So we can give, and that's what we're talking about tonight. So number one, giving ourselves. Number two, then on the back there, give your material things to the Lord. Now notice Matthew 6, verse 19. I hope I have the right verses there. He talks a little bit, and Jesus, again, on the Sermon on the Mount there, the great sermon, he brings out to us the great thing of where our hearts are. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the thing of giving our material things to the Lord begins, letter A, by tithing. Proverbs 3, 5, all the way through 10 really is a great, but he talks about trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. What's he go on with? In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. But he continues with, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. He shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. And then notice, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Thy barns will be filled with plenty, thy presses birthed out with new wine. So again, he's just emphasizing you can't outgive the Lord. And so notice it begins with tithing, and tithe is an obligation. Under the law, it was commanded. We don't have to read all of Malachi 3, but Malachi 3 talks about this. It was commanded under the law. People say, well, we're not under the Old Testament law. Well, under grace in which we live now, it is a basic principle. We know that. Some people question that. Well, why do I have to give? Well, it's just, it's a basic principle of living, isn't it? As a Christian, we know that. The Bible's very clear on it. That the tithe then recognizes God's ownership, and that's exactly what it does. It's saying, we're saying to God, my tithe to you, Lord, I'm recognizing that you own it all. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills, gold in every mine. But I'm acknowledging you own it all, and I'm just a part of this. So I want to remind you of that, Lord, although he doesn't need reminding. Now, Abraham paid tithes for that very reason. Genesis 14, 19 and 20 talks about saying that. Yeah, and he said, blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. A clarification of that, saying, I want you to know, Lord, that I know and I trust you and I acknowledge that you own it all. That's why we look at things. People say, I don't have money to give a tithe. Well, you have a body, right? Romans 12, I'll give you my body, Lord. I'll give you what I have. And recognizing that, we pay tithes to show that all belongs to God. He gives 100% financing of everything we have or do. Isn't that good? He gives 100% financing. He owns it all. He allows us to do what we do. But notice this, he asks a 10% return on the increase. Now, you cannot find a deal like that anywhere really today with these interest rates and other things, man. You can't find anything like that. But he really does only ask 10% back. And that's what we're looking at. Some people say, well, 10% is not in the New Testament. And that's somewhat true, but we understand the principle given to us and we want to. Now, the tithe proves our honesty. We return 10% of our gross increase and we return it to God through our local church. Now, we do have people that have given before that are not part of our church. They just feel God leading them to give, and that's fine. That's fine. We'll take anything. And we'll take it however. But seriously, the people that do give through the local church, it ought to be through the local church. And if I find out one of you are giving to another church, it's not going to be a good day. Okay, no. We're not going to be given to other churches. No, we can be, and you know that. I'm being silly about that, being charitable to other people, but you got to give through your local church. So again, the tithing begins there at home, as we sang the church home. Letter B then, I have here, give above tithe to missions. Again, and you folks, many of you here do that so well already. But again, just to clarify tonight, this is above the tithe, and this is not really a commandment necessarily. Again, so he says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8, I have there in your notes, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove, notice what he says, the sincerity of your love. So Paul says, I'm writing to see where your love is. Are you willing to help us out? Are you willing to give? Now, this is above. Now again, some people will mark on their envelope missions and they'll put a certain amount or on an envelope, whatever the case is. And so that's a good thing. But I want to encourage you with this as we approach our missions conference to really pray about how can I help above and beyond my tithe towards missions and what can I do? So it is notice Paul says, a test of sincerity. It's also a way to prove, again, our love for Christ. You're trusting him and asking, Lord, show me what to give and how to give. It's a voluntary offering. 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice a few things as we break that verse down here. It says a personal choice. It's in his heart. It's a willing choice, not grudgingly. And it's a loving choice, not of necessity. You know when maybe one of your kids or something needs something, or they'll always get real close or get real nice or get, you know, you need something, you need help with something. And so often I think about that. We kind of, well, Lord, I need something. It's not out of necessity. I'm not trying to get something from God, but it's a willing choice. I don't do it grudgingly. I want to do it because I love the Lord. It's a planned offering, not an alms gift. Matthew 6:1-4, he kind of emphasizes, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. When thou doest thine alms, don't sound the trumpet. He goes through talking about not being a hypocrite, right? You do it. Don't let your left hand know what the right does, and so on and so forth. He talks about all of that. So it is a planned offering. Begin by giving to your power, right? Again, what you can do. Grow to give beyond your power. Now, what can you give? What can you do? And say, I'll start right there. Well, I'm so proud of a lot of our young kids here. They have been real faithful in giving, and they may get a little allowance or get something from their birthday something. And we'll have in the offering plate and count. We'll be counting the offering and a little thing. You know, here's a dollar. Here's a dollar 50. Here's 25 cents. But they're starting with what they can give. And thank God for that. So begin by what you can give. Now, the Macedonians did both. They gave to their power what they already had and could afford, and beyond their power what they did not have and could not afford. But the Corinthian church evidently were giving below their power, which is why Paul was here exhorting them in this manner. He says you need to be giving more than you are, and that you have so much and you treat God this way. Now, a lot of people do. They do kind of tip God. You know, here's a tip, Lord. Here it is. If we're faithful and consistent in our offerings, in our tithes, in our giving, in our missions giving, God will bless. I'm telling you, we can't outgive him. Now, this greatly is rewarded. So again, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says, this I say, he which sows sparingly, notice this, shall reap sparingly. That's not an if. Well, you might. You better hope for rain, brother. You better, you know, it will happen. He would sow. Now, again, by the way, it's not always financial, right? We know that. If you're like me, I always look at financially. Well, Lord will bless me. Well, if I give $5, maybe I'll find a $10 bill on the floor somewhere, you know, out in the. I found literally yesterday, I found a $5 bill in my driveway, and I realized it was mine. Now, it had literally fallen out of my coat pocket, and I thought, nuts. You know, yes, no, okay. Man, but we reap bountifully. Galatians 6:7, he goes on to say, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we do not give selfishly just to get something back, but God does always give an increase on what we give to him. Luke 6:38, I love that verse. He talks about that. Yeah, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Notice this, pressed down, shaken, running over. Now, if you know anything about what he's talking about, when they would do buy and sell in the market, if it was grain or flour or whatever it was, you could really, a lot of guys were shysters and they would not give them all that they had. Well, the good guys, they were honest. If you took a bucket of grain or whatever it is, they would shake it, just toss it, twist it, shake it down again, make sure it's packed down so they can put more on top. I mean, they were honest in that. We want to make sure you get a good load there, brother. And he says that. So, with the same measure, shall you meet with all, shall you be measured to you again. And we know that to be true. This is greatly rewarded. Now, God multiplies the seed sown. He truly does. Now, if we reap, we will sow. We reap if we sow. That's the kicker there. We have to sow. We reap what we sow. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We reap more than what we sow. And we reap after we sow. Okay, I hope you got all that. You caught all that. But it's true, isn't it? And you think about it. God will bless. If you go plant maybe some carrots, you don't expect apples, right? You don't expect strawberries, you know? God, we purpose in our Lord, I want to make sure these people get what they have. I want to make sure that I'm giving the way I should be in that. So God gives contentment, and we know that. 2 Corinthians 9:8, again, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, that conversation means lifestyle, your interactions with other people. Be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he gives great contentment when we're faithful to him and giving. God saves precious souls, which is so important in that. Romans 10:13-15, it's so important that we find that. And we know and understand that God is with us. God saves precious souls as we prioritize him in every area, especially in this area of giving. He teaches you to give yourself to him. And then I have here at the bottom, missions giving is much more than just giving some money to missionaries. He is not all that impressed with our money, is he? He wants you and he wants all of you. He wants all of us. And that's where it starts, at the heart. Lord, here I am. I want you to use me and guide me and direct me. And I want to understand what you want for me. Now, as we do approach our missions conference coming up here in a couple weeks, as we just prepare for this and think about, as we go forth that God has commissioned us to do, again, I ask you, as your heart, maybe where it should be in this, and I say this to myself so often, but am I where I'm supposed to be in this? And often I'm not in this giving area. But we ought to be prioritizing the things of God and saying, God, I want to be a help and be a part of this if I can. Where do you want me to give? How do you want me to give? What can I do to be a blessing? How can I be a part of this? And that's truly where it starts. But again, God doesn't need our money, doesn't want our money necessarily. He can do whatever he wants to do, but he wants our heart, doesn't he? He wants to see us first and foremost. Are you willing to give? Are you willing to be a part of this? Now, again, I hope and pray that as you hear from several of our missionaries, that you will get a heart for that. And I always like missions conference because, you know, they'll maybe give a sad story or something or tell us something kind of stirs us up for missions. And I know you folks do so well at already giving towards our missions and helping our missionaries, but I do want to encourage you with it. Asking the Lord, maybe these next couple of weeks leading up to it, Lord, is there something or something that I can do in some way to help and give, to boost our missions account or missions giving in general, to be able to support more missionaries? Our goal, again, as you know, is to support several more missionaries in this year. And then in the following years, I'd like to add at least one, maybe two, if not even more, three, whoever, however many the Lord adds, each year we'd be able to add more missionaries support. I really believe a church that supports other missionaries and church planters is a church God is going to bless. We know that, right? And we can't outgive the Lord. And churches, I really believe that churches that are so tight with their giving and their money, and they only certain amount of missionaries they'll support in certain ways, there's something about that. I really believe we've got to be generous in that, helping others. And we're praying and asking the Lord to help us maybe one day in the future here down the road in a few years be able to plant another church out of our church. And that would be a goal of ours, to be able to help establish a church in that way. So again, we are taking applications. If one of you want to start a church somewhere, I was talking to a brother who is out in Hawaii. They're on one of the islands. I don't know which one, in Maui or something. I know. And I said, I'll go. He said, we need more pastors out here. I said, okay, where do I sign up? Where's that? But you know, they have the same problems we have, right? They have all the same, grass ain't greener, right? And yeah. So we could. I mean, anyways. Okay, I hope that was a help. But we'll be leading up to missions conference, be praying about that, be praying for our missionaries that will be traveling in, and we'll have a good time there. Lord, thank you for this evening once again as we've, Lord, got to dive into your word a little bit here, talk about this. I say it, Lord, but I sure appreciate our people that are so faithful in giving and often sacrificially giving, and they're prioritizing you above other things. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us as we lead up to this, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts towards missions. And thank God for these people that go around the world, many difficult places. They have to learn a new language. They have to really, a lot of them, start a whole new lifestyle, God, and their culture that they go through and all these things. We thank you for their faithfulness. But help us here at home. This is our mission field right here, Lord. And we pray you'd help us. Many lost souls around us in this. Our men and women can attest to that. They work around these people and in the community, Lord, help us to do our part. Bring us, Lord, back together on Saturday if you allow us to go out together to share the gospel. And then on Sunday, we do pray. Love you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.